Glad to have you back for a second hour of Air Talk this morning on KPCC. I'm Kyle Stokes in for Larry Mantle, who will be back with us tomorrow. A lot of great conversation coming your way later this hour. The effects of the nationwide protests on both the presidential race and on the city of LA's budget process. KPCC politics reporter Libby Denkman will join us. We've also got a flurry of headlines last week about who Joe Biden might ask to join the ticket as his running mate. Our analyst guests will join in and weigh in on the short list. But first, the homelessness crisis in Los Angeles continues to grow. We learned on Friday that more than 66,000 of our neighbors here in LA County are now experiencing homelessness. That's a 13% increase over the last year. And most disturbing about these figures, the official results of the county's annual homeless count, is that they come from before the COVID-19 pandemic, which will almost certainly accelerate the problem. We are joined now by KPCC housing reporter Matt Tinoco. Matt, welcome.
Hi, Kyle.
Matt, why are we looking at this increase? These are pretty stark numbers. We've gone from just under 40,000 unhoused in 2014 to now 66,000. And except for a brief dip between 2017 and 18, the numbers have been going up, you know, most every year between those two times. Why?
And I'd also want to point out that during that one little dip, there was a change in the contracted survey analysis. The demographers who LA County contracts with to study the results of the homelessness crisis, the homeless count, changed during that period. But the why is just that nothing like, despite the public investment in homeless services, the overwhelming reasons why people fall into homelessness has not changed, which is ultimately poverty. And just the deep poverty of Los Angeles County continues just grinding more people out, and more people continue falling off the bottom of what is a tight, expensive housing market in a region where wages have just not gone up, and for many people have dropped. One of the figures that stuck out to me from this year's survey, from this year's homeless census, is demographers determined that about 50% more people fell into homelessness in 2019 than the year prior. It's called inflow. They figured out that about 83,000 people lost their homes during the year 2019. Now, over the course of the year, a lot of people are able to escape homelessness and rehouse people, but just the idea that 50% more people fell into homelessness in 2019 than the year before just points to everything just kind of accelerating, that more people continue losing their homes because of the underlying factors of just people are not actually able to afford housing in Southern California. And again, like you said, this is all pre-COVID. So right now, evictions are temporarily on hold because of basically the courts just can't be open. But one of the things that there was a report that came out from UCLA of people worrying that, well, if the eviction court system starts going on, you have so many people who are just behind on rent because they've lost their jobs because of the pandemic, that you could potentially see hundreds of thousands of people out on the streets if the court mechanism was to respond in such a way over the next year or so. And that's, I think, where it becomes really scary. So everything has driven so many people to the streets, but nothing has really changed, and it could just become more if nothing is correct. If there isn't a serious public policy conversation that changes what's been happening thus far.
Yeah, the math problem pretty simple here. About 75,000 people finding housing last year compared to upwards of 80,000 people entering homelessness last year. In those sort of, when you've got those mismatch in numbers, you're going to see the increases that we are. And to join me to add some more context to this conversation is Heidi Marston, the executive director of the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, which is the lead agency that coordinates housing and services for Los Angeles County. Heidi, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
I think, you know, I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there listening to this who maybe voted in the county for Measure H or in the city of Los Angeles for Proposition HHH, and they're probably wondering, you know, shouldn't we be making a dent in this problem by now?
Yeah, and I think what's really important to remember is exactly what Matt was saying, is the pace at which people are falling in continues to outpace the rate at which we can get folks out. As important context, pre-Measure H and pre-tax measure ballots, we were housing anywhere from 9,000 to 10,000 people a year. In just a short period of time, we're now housing more than 22,000 people a year. So because of resources invested through Measure H, Triple H, mentioned, the units that that's bringing online, would it had not been for those, we would be in a much worse scenario. And in fact, each year, despite the growing numbers, we see our system performing better in terms of how many people we're working with, who's coming inside, and who is becoming permanently housed. So that cannot be lost on us as we're having these hard conversations.
Yeah, there is in the presentation that your agency, I should say, put out in presenting these numbers, you know, the step up in that bar graph of the number of people placed into housing, now 22,000 people, as you mentioned. But elsewhere in the slide, there was also a figure that there is something like 500,000 units of affordable housing, which is different than the kind of housing potentially that we're talking about. I'd like to ask you, but I mean, it sort of gives a sense of the mismatch of the amount of resources. It would, at least to me, you know, suggest a mismatch in the amount of resources that are devoted to the homelessness crisis. When you're able to house, as you know, the housing, you know, as Lhasa, 22,000 people versus, you know, the potential need for more than 500,000 units of more affordable housing for the general public. I mean, am I comparing apples and oranges here, or are these sort of part and parcel of the same problem?
No, they're certainly all interconnected. And what we know in any community is that homelessness tends to rise when the median rent in a community exceeds 22% of median income. In LA, our median rent is 46.7% of median income. And that's further compounded by what you're saying, with more than 500,000 units short of affordable housing. That is different. While the Triple H resources and the housing that's being built is certainly a subset that contributes to that, it's just about even existing units reaching a level that is affordable for folks, because right now you have to make over $40 an hour and work full time just to afford a one bedroom apartment.
Now, how do you feel, Heidi, about the COVID-19 pandemic and how it's going to affect the numbers here? The numbers that we're talking about, a 13% increase in homelessness across the county, is pre-COVID. The county has, or I should say, I keep confusing the county and Lhasa, which I don't mean to do, and so my apologies. But Lhasa has housed, has stepped up its goals for housing people in the wake of the pandemic. Yet at the same time, there's certainly going to be more people falling into homelessness. What is your anticipation for how the pandemic is going to affect these pre-COVID numbers?
Yeah, and that's completely right. What we saw in January is a very different picture than what we have today, not the least of which is that even since March, we've brought close to 6,000 people indoors. And so the landscape looks different, and what we need to do looks different. But what COVID has showed us is that with appropriate resourcing and with the right amount of political and public will, we can move and activate faster than we ever thought was possible. So we have a really important policy choice and funding choices to make in this moment to say we can either double down on the things that we know keep people in housing and the things that permanently house people, or we are certainly going to continue to be at risk for not only the inflow like we saw this year, but potentially more because of the eviction moratoria and because of the unemployment numbers that we're seeing continuing to rise. There has to be some additional safety nets put into place so we don't see a greater inflow into homelessness.
We're also talking with, we are currently talking with Heidi Marston, the head of Lhasa, which is the agency that coordinates housing and services for homeless families and individuals in LA County, as well as KPCC's reporter covering housing and homelessness, Matt Tinoco. And finally, joining me on the line is Pete White, the executive director of LA CAN. That's the Los Angeles Community Action Network, a nonprofit organization working to create opportunities for people experiencing poverty in Los Angeles. And he is also on Lhasa's commission on Black people and homelessness. Mr. White, thank you for being with us.
Hey, thank you guys for having me in this important conversation.
I was noting that you are not too shocked to see that these numbers have gone up.
And so just really quickly, Heidi, congratulations for your new promotion to the executive director.
Yes, no longer interim.
No longer interim, so congratulations. I mean, just building on what Heidi said, if rents continue to rise and wages are stagnant and people don't have the resources to afford the median amount of rent in Los Angeles, of course, we're going to have houselessness. And so it was definitely not a surprise to our organization to see the numbers increase. Additionally, when we think about the per day people entering houselessness per day, in 2019, we were talking about 110 people per day that were entering into houselessness. Now in 2020, that number has increased to 227 people per day. I think I would say be careful when we think about, we know that these numbers were pre-COVID. We also know that pre-COVID, that there were 721,000 families who were at risk of being houseless because of rent, because of housing insecurity, meaning they paid more than 50% of their rent into housing. We had been screaming, banging our heads before COVID, saying that we needed to put forth some solutions that kept people in place. Some of those things came across as the right to counsel ordinance. Also, there was a real loud cry for public property, both vacant and buildings, being converted to housing now, right? Housing designs like our Eco 2 developments, right, that focuses on environmentally friendly and economical housing to work. I will say in 2020, one of the things that we enjoyed in 2019 is that finally there was a structural analysis of why houselessness was occurring, right? We were walking away from sort of this red herring. It's because people are mentally ill. It's because of substance abuse. It's because of meritocracy. Finally, we entered into a conversation that said, no, actually, it's housing affordability, housing availability, and poverty. Now, this year, we doubled down, and we're now interrogating the extent to which structural racism informs houselessness, right?
Right.
We have to disrupt the numerous ways deep inequalities are reproduced daily.
Right.
Let's
unpack some of those figures for just a second. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but you do mention, for example, you know, the income issue in LA and Orange counties. Obviously, a lot of us know that housing costs are rising much faster than incomes, especially if your income is below the median. But to pick up also, Mr. White, on your point about structural racism and inequalities, Black Angelenos in particular are four times more likely to be unhoused. And, you know, there's also some, you know, just to sort of tick through some of the other trends that you see, continues to be a homegrown problem. 70% of the people here have lived in the county for more than a decade. Family homelessness, seniors entering homelessness, also on the rise. But Mr. White, I'm curious to know more if we can talk more about some of the demographic breakdown of this and the effect that inequality beyond housing costs is driving this problem.
Yeah, I think you touched upon them, but I would just say we cannot talk about houselessness without talking about deindustrialization. You cannot talk about houselessness without talking about redlining and segregation, right? One of the ways in which folks in this country have been able to put together a nest egg. We cannot talk about houselessness without talking about the criminal injustice system and the drug war, right? We cannot talk about houselessness without talking about globalization. And at the bottom of that, African Americans have continually been locked out. And it's not the idea that only African Americans are locked out, but when you look at generation after generation after generation, of course you're going to see four times the number of houseless folks in Los Angeles being Black. I would argue, I would have houseless expert Gary Blasey on the show because his estimate is actually it's 10 times greater than white folks in the city of Los Angeles. And so what we don't want to do, we know that these things exist, but we need to really move towards the solutions, right? We need to not let this moment pass us as, okay, aha, we finally acknowledge the big bad R word, but how we are going to interrupt that? How are we going to disrupt that? How are we going to make sure that listeners don't believe that it's Lhasa's job to deal with this crisis alone, right? I think oftentimes Lhasa is unfairly targeted, right? We need to apply pressure.
Well, who should, I mean, and I want to turn this question back to Heidi Marston. There's been some suggestion, you know, if this is not Lhasa's responsibility, the agency that you head, whose responsibility is it? Steve Lopez wrote a column in the LA Times last year that says, you know, Lhasa has a budget, you know, of a sizable budget, but very little authority. So we're left with, as Steve Lopez writes, a battalion of 88 cities plus a huge county presence, but no command center or field marshal, and that potentially we need something like a metro transit agency, the equivalent of that for homelessness, to make overall decisions. I mean, is that the kind of policy solution to the issues that Mr. White is talking about?
I think what becomes really important in this moment is establishing clear pillars of responsibility and lanes of responsibility. When we think about the homeless response system, it really is, in order to reach the point where you have lost your housing, there are a number of safety nets that have fallen through that leaves the homeless response system as being the final of all safety nets. And so what we really need to look at is, what are all the safety net systems that are falling through and failing these individuals that are leading them at a disproportionate amount to the front door of the homeless response system, and then bolster it. And when I'm talking about other safety net systems, I'm talking about criminal justice. I'm talking about the healthcare system, the child welfare system. So how do we look to those other systems to ensure that people don't even come to the front door of the homeless response system? Because the reality is it's overloaded and we're getting too many people at our front door, but not enough resourcing to serve them on the back end. So I think looking across the board to say who owns what and which entities and agencies and government agencies are responsible for what is super important in this moment.
KPCC's Matt Tinoco is also with us. He covers housing and homelessness. And Matt, just to return to you with about the minute that we have left, any final thoughts, anything that stood out from this conversation about where do we go from here? What kind of solutions are even on the table? Matt, are you with us?
Sorry about that.
It's just like Zoom. Everything's like Zoom. We're all forgetting we're on mute these days. Go ahead.
Yeah, the thing I'd want to point out is that the folks that you see on the street are the, I interpret it as the culmination of all the inequality in the United States is culminating with people on the street, but they also are just this very small tip of the iceberg of a much larger population that is grinding through that inequality every single day. And that's how I interpret what I see as I'm out reporting. The second thing that I want to point out is that in terms of the relative scale of Heidi's agency, LASA, as well as the homelessness response in LA County, for all the amount of money that is allocated to it, it is still a relatively small amount proportionate to the public spending in Southern California. So LA County's next year's budget, the proposal for 2020-2021, allocates $410 million for homelessness out of Los Angeles County, some of that which goes to LASA. But the overall scale of the budget is $35.5 billion, which is almost 100 times the size of what we spend on homelessness. Now, the sheriff's department budget, for example, is allocated, is proposed to be about $3.5 billion out of LA County. $410 million is a lot of money, but proportionate to the scale of the problem, it's small. Like, that's the only way to say it.
Yeah. And we're talking about that in the midst of a state budget crisis as well, when funding for state and local governments is in such question. I want to thank so much all of our guests for coming in to talk about this very important issue and this very sobering numbers coming out of the L.A. Housing's the Los Angeles Homeless Services Agency, or LASA, as we always call it. I'm trying to unpack that acronym, so I keep tripping over it here. But my thanks to the head of that agency, Heidi Marston, for joining us, and to Pete White, the executive director of the Los Angeles Community Action Network, talking about a 13% increase in homelessness in Los Angeles County, and really the fact that we're talking, and those are pre-COVID numbers as well, but structural inequality, racism, and economic inequality playing a huge number in driving those numbers in the face of significant public investment on homelessness. We'll come back after a short break here on AirTalk.